First Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 8 in just a second this morning. And of course, our theme for this year at the church is living by faith. Amen. In 2018. And we've been talking about each month of the year, we've been talking about different aspects or different parts of our faith, if you will. And we started in January and we talked about Bible faith. Amen. In other words, when the Bible uses the word faith, what does it mean? Amen. Because a lot of people have a lot of ideas about faith and that word that's wrong today. But yet we saw from the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 what Bible faith really is. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. And then in February we focused on, does anybody remember the second aspect of faith? We talked about Bible faith. And then in February we talked about saving faith. Amen. Saving faith. And how that salvation and faith and how that goes together. For a person to be saved, they must have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and talked about a lot of different things about that. And then now we're up to March. Amen. And in March we focused on Baptist faith. Amen. In other words, not that Baptists are the only one going to heaven or Baptists are the only one saved, not none of that type of stuff, or not that we're better than anybody else, but just simply the fact of why are we Baptist. Amen. And some Baptist history things that Brother Spencer brought out as well, and just talking about some of the things, if you will, about Baptist faith and what we believe as Baptist. Some distinctives, if you will. And then now this month, of course, we didn't talk about it last week because we focused on the resurrection, amen, and being Easter Sunday and everything. But now we're going to pick up this month. We're going to talk about, in the month of April, we're going to talk about answering faith. Answering faith. In other words, this kind of ties in, if you will, with what we talked about last year. If you remember, for the month of April last year, we talked about answers in April. Amen. In other words, our theme was we talked about questions that people often ask. Amen. And y'all gave me some. Y'all wrote them down on a piece of paper and passed in some that you get asked a lot of times. Like, for example, why do bad things happen to good people? And we preached a little bit about that and talked about, is there really a hell? And those type of things that people ask a lot of times. And we preached some of those things and gave some answers from God's Word. And this year we're going to talk about, in April again, talking about answering faith, though this time. And when you think about faith, I believe true Bible faith is one that can give an answer. Amen. Bible faith is not just, well, I believe it. That's not what Bible faith is. You remember back what we talked about, Bible faith from Hebrews 11:1 is one that has some substance to it, the Bible says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's some substance to real Bible faith. There's some evidence to real Bible faith. Amen. And so if you remember back, we said that simply Bible faith is believing God's Word and following it. Amen. Believing God's Word and following it. If you don't have God's Word and you say, well, I just believe this, and God's Word doesn't back that up, that's just your belief. Amen. For it to be Bible faith, you've got to have God's Word. Amen. You've got to have God's Word that you're standing on for it to be faith. You just haven't seen it yet. You haven't realized it yet, but you know what God said in His Word, and you know God's going to do what He says He's going to do. Amen. Because God doesn't lie, and God cannot lie. God always tells the truth. Amen. And we know that. And so faith is just simply believing that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. In His Word. Believing and trusting on Him when it comes to that. And if we do that, then we ought to have some answers about some things. Amen. That's why we can answer concerning our faith. When people ask, for example, when people say, well, how do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I believe that by faith, amen, but I can give some answers by faith about that, amen, from God's Word. And so we're going to talk about that kind of this month on Sunday mornings just a little bit about answering faith. But to begin this morning, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. And we're going to read a few verses here to get down to the verse where we're going, if you will. But I think it's important for us to see the context here of what's being talked about. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Notice he's talking to a group of people here as he says, ye all. Amen. More than one person. We can tell that right off. Let's read on down. We'll see who he's talking to. Finally, be ye all of one mind. He's telling all these people he's talking to, you need to be of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Again, you see, talking about to more than what? One person, talking to a group of people, having compassion one of another. Love as what? Brethren. Amen. In other words, now we see who he's talking to. Now we see who the ones that are, should be all of one mind are. The ones that should have compassion one on of another and love one another as brethren, that's the brethren. Amen. In other words, simply, he's talking to believers here. Peter is, in the fact that we as believers, here's some things that we ought to do in our lives. Here's some things, especially as a church, as a body of believers, that we ought to do. Let's read on. He says, be pitiful, be courteous. Amen. And we're not going to talk about all these things, but just notice them and look at them as we go along. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Amen. You think about that's the flesh right there. Amen. That's my natural reaction. I think it's probably all of our natural reactions when somebody rails against us. Amen. When somebody, if you will, slanders us or say bad things about us, what's the negative reaction? Rail back at them. Amen. To take and say things back to them, to act back, if you will. And if you can dish it out, then you can take it. Here you go. Amen. And that's the natural human reaction, if you will. Evil for evil or railing for railing. But the Bible says, contrarywise, blessing. In other words, what we ought to do is when someone, if you will, attacks us, what we instead ought to do is bless them back. Amen. We ought to bless them back, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did when He walked here on this earth. And you think about, that's why the Bible tells us to love our enemies. Amen. And we could spend a lot of time on that. But let's read on. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. When we do that, we receive a blessing from the Lord. Amen. And a lot of times the Lord can use that to get a hold of that other person's heart when we react back in the right way. Notice verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Boy, that ties in with what we just talked about. Amen. And his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew evil. That word eschew just simply means put it away. Amen. Stay away from it. You don't want evil in your life. That's the way the brethren should be. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Amen. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I'm glad today to know that the eyes of the Lord are on us. Amen. And his ears are open to hear our prayers of those that seek to do his will, that are righteous, his children. Notice verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Notice verse 14. We quote this verse and talk about it a lot. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Amen. In other words, we talk about another verse that's similar to this in a lot of times, that all live godly in Christ Jesus are going to what? Shall suffer persecution. Amen. You can mark it down, put it down. It's the truth because God's Word says it. When people say, why am I going through all these things in our life? Well, if you're a child of God, part of the reason why, there's lots of answers to that that could be given depending on the circumstance and situation. But part of the reason for that is, if you're living godly, guess what you're going to face sometimes in your life? Persecution. Amen? Persecution. Job, that we're talking about in Sunday school. Perfect example of that from the Bible. But here, notice verse 15. This is what we're to do as believers. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this is our verse we're going to hone in on this morning and then for a couple of weeks probably. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Notice verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for each person that's here this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for our visitors this year, dear Lord. And I thank you for the freedom that we have, dear Lord, and the blessing that it is to gather together in your house another Sunday. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning seeking your help. Dear Lord, we need you to touch us this morning and help us. Dear Father, we come seeking a blessing, seeking your Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and lives, as only you can do. Dear Lord, I confess to you this morning there's nothing that I can do this morning that really help anybody in a lasting way. Dear Lord, you're the one that has to do the work. And dear Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would work through your word and work through, dear Lord, me as, dear Lord, the things that you've laid upon my heart. Dear Father, that you would just work them into our hearts and our lives, mine own included, and that you'd help us this morning. That, dear Lord, if there's some decisions that we need to make in our lives, that, dear Father, today might be the day that we make these decisions. If there's one here today that's lost, that doesn't know you as their Savior, that hasn't been born again, dear Father, I pray today might be the day that they come to you and they get saved. Dear Lord, if there's a saved person today in here, dear Father, that needs to sanctify and set apart their lives for you, dear Lord, they've allowed some other things to take their own place in their hearts and lives, I pray that today might be the day, dear Father, that they rededicate themselves and resurrender and resubmit their heart and lives to you, dear Lord, rather than the things of this flesh and this world. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. I pray that you just bless, dear Lord, your word this morning, and that you do only what you can do. And I thank you ahead of time for loving us, for saving us, and thank you for being here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about answering faith and how faith, biblical faith, can give an answer. You see here in verse number 15 this morning, which is kind of our text verse, if you will, it doesn't use the word faith in it. But I believe faith can be seen all throughout this verse. Because if you don't have Bible faith, first off, you're not going to be able to do verse 15. In other words, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never be able to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to always give an answer of the hope that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. If you don't have the hope that's in you of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior this morning, if you're not one of the brethren, which is why I read all those verses that verse number 8 says that he's talking to here this morning. If you haven't been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this morning you cannot give an answer for your faith. Why? Because you haven't placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. We know that for a person to be saved, the Bible says there's only one way to go to heaven. Amen. And that's by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know that we've all sinners. Amen. Every single one of us, the Bible says, there's none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know there's only one way to be saved, and that's by admitting that we're a sinner. Amen. And trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary and rising again those 3 days later. Confessing that with our mouth, but from our heart, most importantly. Amen. And then the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I'm glad today to know that I'm saved. Amen. Why? Because I've placed my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done what the Bible says when it concerns salvation. And I'm glad that we can know that we're saved and know that we're born again, because it's not what I know that matters, but it's what the Bible says. Amen. And what God's Word tells me. And I'm glad today to know that when I do what God says, I can take His Word. Amen. He always tells us the truth. So when you think about this morning, this verse, if we're saved, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've got our faith and trust in Him, then we ought to be able to give some answers concerning our faith. Amen. Don't take this wrong this morning. Let me say this from the beginning, okay? That I am not saying that I nor you have all the answers that anybody's ever going to ask a question about. Amen? I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. Some people say, they accuse you sometimes, like they probably have me at times. They say, oh, you think you a know-it-all. Well, I'm not a know-it-all, okay? Let's get that confession out of the way. You might think I act that way sometimes, but I promise you, I am not a know-it-all. I will admit that to anybody. Amen? I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers to life's questions. I don't know everything there is to know. And even if I live to be 110 years old, amen, I'm still not going to know everything there is to know. I'll know more than I do now, hopefully. Amen? If I still got my memory and my mind. But you know what? I still won't know everything there is to know. Amen. A lot of times people ask questions and I look and I say, well, I'm not sure exactly what the answer is to that. Sometimes I might have some things that I can show people from God's Word about certain questions they have, and I might can say, well, here's some possibilities. But when it comes to certain situations and circumstances that people are facing in their lives, a lot of times it's between them and the Lord, and the Lord has to show them what the answer is. Amen? Through His Holy Spirit. And so I'm simply saying today that when it comes to answering concerning our faith, there is some things we can give some answers about. Amen? But I don't know all the answers. But I know the one that knows all the answers. Amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know where all the answers can be found. And that's inside this book right here. Amen? Now, when I say that, don't take me wrong. There's some things I believe this. When I say I know where all the answers are, that's God's Word. Amen? And I know the one that knows all the answers. But there's some things in this life I don't believe you or I will ever know the answers to. Amen? In other words, there's some things that our human minds can't fully comprehend. There's some things that God doesn't, if you will, see fit for us to know. Amen? Why? That's between God. Amen? That's up to God. When we get to heaven one day, there's a lot of things that we don't know now that we will realize and that we will know. Amen? I think about a lot of times we wonder, in other words, why did the Lord take so-and-so out of this earth at the time that they did? Why did the Lord allow this suffering or this hard thing to take place in my life or so-and-so's life down the road the way that He did? Why did the Lord allow 9/11 or some of these other tragic school shootings and things that we've seen recently? Why does the Lord? I don't know all those things. I can give you some things that I see from God's Word, guesses about things and some truths and principles about things. But as far as all the details of the whys, only the Lord knows those things. Amen? And maybe one day when we get to heaven, the Lord will show us all the details, if you will, of the whys. But instead, what I can say this morning is there is some things that are clear from Scripture that we can give some answers about concerning our faith. But if we're going to give answers by faith, as this verse, I believe, is talking about, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh, we've got to do the first part of the verse, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning just for a minute. The first part of the verse, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. If we don't never do the first part of this verse this morning, then we will never be able to fully give the answers and be ready to give the answers that God would have us to give by faith. You see, today, the first part of the verse is, he says, but sanctify the Lord God. In other words, in your hearts. And just for a second this morning, think about that word sanctify with me. That's not a word that we use in our common everyday speech and language, but it's a good Bible word. The word sanctify, you look it up, it has a simple meaning. The word sanctify, it means this, to set apart. Amen? To set apart, if you will. There's two parts to this word, if you will. To set apart. I think about this morning, some of y'all may have done this, and I'm not going to grab that offering plate because I don't want to mess with that one. Amen. We'll let Lynn count that after church is over with. But some of y'all may have taken, before you come to church this morning, and you may have taken and looked at your check for the week. I do this every week. You may have, for example, looked at your check and said, okay, I made $100 this week at work. I know tithes 10%. Amen. And so you may have set apart 10% of that $100 for your tithe, $10. Amen. You may have taken and set that apart and said, okay, this check right here, this $10, if you had cash, this $10, let's say we had cash, this $10 is set apart for my tithes to the Lord. Here's the other 90 is set apart to the power bill. And then what am I going to do about the rest, right? What am I going to do? Wait till next week till a paycheck comes. But you got that part that's been set apart, amen, for something. And when this word sanctify is used, it means to set apart. You think about when you took and you set apart that $10, if you will, you was setting it apart to something. Amen? You was setting it apart to God. You was setting it apart to the tithe. Amen? To give in the offering at the church. In other words, sanctify has two ideas, one of setting apart to something and setting apart from something. Just like when you set that $10 aside and you said, okay, I'm setting it apart to give to God. The other $90, you're setting it apart from. Amen? You're setting that $10 apart from that other $90. In other words, anytime you set apart something, you're setting it apart from some things and to some things. Amen. And so you think about when the Bible says here, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, when we sanctify the Lord God in our heart this morning, and we sanctify our heart to Him, we are taking and sanctifying ourselves to do what God would have us to do. Amen. This morning I think about me and I think about you, and no doubt most of us, if we've been saved any length of time, there probably was a time and a place in our life where we, in the church service somewhere, or the Lord was just working on our heart, maybe driving down the road in the car or whatever, and we said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do with my life. Lord, I give my heart. Yes, I'm saved, Lord, but Lord, I give you my life to do what you want me to do with. Show me what your will is. Show me what you want me to do. If you hadn't ever done that, you ought to do it. Amen. Give your life to Him. Not talking about salvation, because if you saved, you already done that. But being saved is not the end of the ball game. Amen. That's just the beginning. Amen. That's just the first pitch. Amen. That's when the game begins. Amen. That's when serving the Lord begins, which ain't a game, by the way. But that's when it starts, if you will. Amen. That's when it all starts, if you will, is when we get saved. Then what are we going to do for the Lord? The Lord didn't save us just to sit and do nothing. Amen. And wait till we get to heaven one day and say, well, Lord, I'm here. I got saved. Yeah, but you didn't do anything for me. Amen. And how bad that would be to sit there before God empty. But I think about this word set apart. God set us apart to serve Him. Amen. To do the things that He would have us to do. Amen. Which involves telling others about Him. Amen. Helping others out in need that the Lord places around us. Like these verses that we just read in chapter 3. They gave some good things that when we sanctify and set apart the Lord in our hearts that we'll be able to do. Amen. Of how when others take and they come to us, if you will, railing for railing, and they do evil, that the Lord can help us when we set apart our heart to Him, that we take instead and we react back in the right way so that they might see the Lord in us. Amen. You think about being set apart concerns the way that we live our lives. Do we live our lives in a clean way the Lord would have us to? Amen. Do we live our lives separate from the things of this world, but separate to the things that God would have us to do? Do we take and do what this flesh desires? Amen. Which, one example, we already talked about how we react back to people this morning, or do instead we do what God would have us to do this morning. You think about simply a lot of times there's some fleshly desires that you and I have, but if we set aside and we've sanctified our hearts to the Lord, then we've set aside ourselves for Him and we say, no, I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what honors and pleases Him. I give you a perfect example. I believe it's the Lord's will for us to go to church. Don't you? Amen. But I don't know about you. I'll just be honest. And I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to confess this, probably, most of y'all think. But I'm honest with you. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, guess what happens? The alarm clock goes off and my flesh says, no, 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 no. Stay in bed this morning. Amen. Y'all says that too, right? Amen. That's all, be honest with each other in the Lord. It does that. And you hit the snooze button. Amen. I used to never do that. Couldn't stand it when people do that. I told y'all that about my story in college. I had a guy that did that, roommate. But anyway, hit that snooze button. And I used to only hit it one time. Now it's got up to two times. Lord help me. I hate to see the day it gets up to three times, you know. But anyway, you keep hitting the snooze button. Because if I don't and I cut it off, say, oh, I'm going to get up. And next thing I know, I don't get up. But I'm simply saying, you think about, it's a battle to get out of bed sometimes. Why? I know God wants me to go to church. I know I need to go. It's the day that's been set apart to go to worship Him, amen, and to go to God's house. But a lot of times my flesh says, no, no, no. And I can take and give into that flesh and what it wants to do and lay in that bed and give into those desires. Or I can take instead and say, Lord wants me to go to church. I want to go to church in my heart. Amen. I know it's the right thing to do. That battle. And I can get up and do what God would have us to do. Amen. You think about, we all face things like that in our lives. But sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts means sanctifying and set apart, if you will, from some things and to some things. But this word sanctified has another idea, if you will. It really is the same, but a little different wording, if you will. But it means to set apart, but also to consecrate or dedicate to God. To consecrate or dedicate to God. In other words, we ought to dedicate our hearts and our lives to the Lord. Amen. When I thought about this word dedicate, I couldn't help but think about the words that we use sometimes. Dedicate, we do use a lot. We don't use the word sanctify in our normal language. We use the word dedicate a lot of times. We talk about so-and-so, they are dedicated to their job. What are we saying? They have set apart their life to that job. In other words, they put that job a lot of times above family, hobbies, rest, amen, sleep. They've taken and they are dedicated, amen. They are there 24/7 if need be. They'll take and do whatever it takes to make sure that the job is done. That is a dedicated bilo worker, amen. That is a dedicated satellite install man, amen. Works 7 days a week, whatever he needs to do, amen, around everything, right? You think about, that's a dedicated person in whatever field it is that they work in. They're dedicated. I think about another example that we use the word dedicated for is sometimes when a person has a new, parents have a child, we say they have a baby dedication, amen. And they dedicate that baby, if you will, to the Lord, and saying in the things that we say a lot of times, they're dedicating themselves that they're going to do their best with the Lord's help to raise that child in the way that the Bible says. Amen. You think about dedication. In other words, there's a sanctifying, a setting apart. Today I ask you, is your heart dedicated to the Lord? Are you in your heart this morning dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ? But sanctify, dedicate the Lord God in your hearts. Have you dedicated your heart and your life to the Lord this morning? Yes, you've given Him your heart the day that you got saved. Yes, you asked Him to come into your heart and to save you, and He has. But have you dedicated your life to Him? Have you given Him your life? Have you dedicated yourself to Him today to do what He would have you to do? In other words, I think about, this has happened to me at times when I used to be on call, especially working for the district manager like I used to do at Bilo. He would take and call a lot of times and he would say, "Hey Gerald, the power's out at the store. It'd be 10 o'clock at night. I need you to come in." Then I had a choice to make. Was I going to be dedicated to Bilo or dedicated to my bed? Amen. Which one am I going to be dedicated to? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes, what are you dedicated to? Amen. You think about when it talks about being dedicated, when it comes to being dedicated to the things of God, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Are you dedicated to the things of God? Could that be said about me and you in our lives? That person, they are a dedicated person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think about sometimes we say that people, and this is a good thing, don't take me wrong, but I make a point here. Sometimes we say, so-and-so, they are dedicated to that church. They are there. Amen. And that's a good testimony to have. But may I say, even a better testimony to have is they're dedicated to the Lord. Amen. They're dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're dedicated to Him. That's why they're there at church. That's why they do these things they do. It's not because of the church or not because of people wanting people to see them or this, that, or the other, or to say that they did, but because they're dedicated to God. Amen. Because they've sanctified the Lord God in your hearts. I think about this verse. The Lord reminds me personally of it often. And you notice now He says, sanctify who? The Lord God. Those words were interesting. That He would say the Lord God there and not Jesus or not Christ or Savior or any of those other names that we hear used a lot of times when referring to God. But here He said, sanctify the Lord God. I believe that's important. Because in other words, if we're going to sanctify Him in our hearts, we've got to realize that He is the Lord God. Amen. In other words, that we need to put Him above everything else in our lives. We need to dedicate Him as having first place in our hearts. Amen. That when the Lord calls us to do something, He wants us to do something, His Holy Spirit leads us to do something, the things that He would have us to do, that we're dedicated and that we do those things first. Amen. And if something that has to go in our lives because things are busy, and I know it is, it's not going to be what God wants me to do. Because I'm dedicated to Him, it's going to be something else that's going to have to go. You think about simply today, a lot of people don't realize this truth, but 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says this, and I like the way verse 19 starts. It says, what? Then it has a question mark. What? He's saying here, don't you know this? What? Don't you realize that this is a fact? Lord, I wish we could get this message out to a lot of times the way that we do in our lives as believers, and to a lot of believers, I don't think that even seen this verse before. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you know this? That your body is the temple of God? Amen. God doesn't dwell in buildings of brick. Amen. Now, we ought to have a building of brick, and we do have one, thank the Lord, where we gather together to meet the Lord and to worship Him, and this is the Lord's house and all those things. But do you realize that God doesn't indwell inside this building? He indwells inside you as a believer. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You think about today, when we do things with our body, whether it be good or bad, we're taking the Holy Ghost with us. Amen. You think about that. And boy, that right there just keep you from and keep you to do a lot of things. Amen. That'll cause you to be more careful about the things that you do if you really let that sink in, what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. A lot of times I've heard people say, and maybe I've been guilty at some point in my life, I don't know, when I was younger or something especially, but sometimes people say, well, and I understand this don't apply every situation, but sometimes I've heard people say, well, we can't do that. That's in church. You know, or that's in... But if it's... A lot of times, not all the time, a lot of times when people say that, if it's not okay to do here because we're in church, is it really okay to do out there? Because you realize the only reason that inside God's house, He's here is because why? Not because He lives inside the bricks and the stones, but because when you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior walk in this building, guess who comes in the door at the same time with us? The Spirit of God. Amen. That's why the Bible says in another place where two or three are gathered together, who's in the midst? The Lord is. Amen. And so in other words, that's why the Lord's here today, is because when the believers gather together in the house of God, guess who's there? The Lord. We don't have to pray this morning, Lord, be here. No, we don't have to pray that prayer. That's done. Check that off the list. God's here. Amen. Now we pray, Lord, show yourself to us. Lord, work in a mighty way. Have your will. All those types of things. Yes. But we don't have to pray for God to be here. God's here. If God's not here this morning, the only reason why is because every single one of us is lost. Because He indwells your heart, He's there. Amen. And everywhere I go, everywhere you go throughout the week, guess who's there? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God's within you. And your body, my body, is the temple of the Lord. And the last part of verse 19, it said, ye are not your own. Today, one of the biggest things that our society says and that pushes through lots of different things is, it's my body, I can do what I want to. That's true if you're lost. But if you're saved, that's not true. Because the Bible said you're not your own. Your body's the temple of God. You see, today you say, Pastor, I just don't believe that. You might not, but if God's Word says it, realize something, you're not your own. That body is God's body. It's His temple. That's what God said. I didn't say it. That's what He said. You think about here, our body is not our own this morning. A lot of people say, well, it's my body, I'll do what I want to, and you can't tell me what to do. I can't, but if you're a child of God and you know Him, realize your body is not your own, it's His. Hence, that's why I said what I said about this verse that's interesting in 1 Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, He's Lord in your life. Will you let Him be Lord? Amen. Will you do what He wants and realize, hey, I'm not my own. I'm going to do what my Master, I'm going to do what my Lord, my Father wants for me to do. Verse 20, it said back in 1 Corinthians 6, that was not verse 19, verse 20, for ye are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. In other words, simply this, that we ought to glorify God in our body and our spirit. Why? Because those are God's. That's what He said. You see today, that's why it's important that we ought to realize that and sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and dedicate and give ourselves to do what God would have us to do every single day in our lives. Amen. A lot of times we think, well, I prayed and I told the Lord I'd do whatever He wanted me to do, and that was the end of it. If that's all it was, is one time that you prayed or two times you prayed and you said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do, and that was the end of it, then guess what that was? The end of it. Amen. As soon as you got up and walked away from that prayer, that was the end of it. Because every day, amen, every moment of every day, we have to take and set ourselves aside and say, Lord, what would you have me to do right now? What would you have me to do right now? What would you have me not to do, Lord? Help me, guide me, show me what you'd have me to do. And that's where His Holy Spirit comes into play. I ask you today, is He not just Savior of your heart, but also Lord of it as well? Amen. Is He Lord of your heart as well? That's what this verse is saying. But sanctify, back to our text verse, the Lord God in your heart. Hearts. Does He have first place in your life? Or instead, and this really convicted me, and I don't know about y'all, we talk about a lot of times giving the Lord the leftovers. And I know this ain't big or eloquent, but it spoke to me and maybe it'll help y'all. I wrote this down in my notes. Is He Lord of all or leftover Lord? Is He Lord of all or leftover Lord? We talk about a lot of times He's Lord of all or not Lord at all. And we've all heard that said probably bunches of times. But I ask you today, is He Lord of all or is He leftover Lord? Lord, you're Lord of everything in my life, or instead is He, like we talked about for a second in Sunday school this morning, leftover Lord. Only when I need you, Lord. Here's the leftovers. This is what I got left. And here, Lord, I give this to you. Leftover Lord. Is that what He is in our lives? Remember the verse, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set apart, dedicate your heart to the Lord. Is He leftover Lord? Lord, well, I got this part of my heart left, but I want this, and this part of my heart's for me, and I'm going to do what I want to do. But Lord, this part over here that's left, I give you that. You can have it, Lord. You can have it, Lord. You can have that leftover part. Notice the place. Notice the verse again, but sanctify the Lord God, and we mentioned this a lot already, in your hearts. You think about simply today that the place that He's talking about, the Lord doesn't say sanctify Him in our heads. He doesn't say sanctify Him in our feet. Amen. But He's talking about our hearts. I ask you today and I ask me today, why? Think about it. Why would He say the heart? Because we describe the heart as being the seat of the emotions, the will, amen, the innermost part of man. You know, a heart ain't working, it affects everything else in your body, amen, doesn't it? Everything else, if it don't work right for a while, if you got certain issues and things. You think about that heart. He said, we need to dedicate our hearts to the Lord God. Realize who He is. I thought about today simply, we must have Him set apart in our lives. We must set apart our heart to the Lord and to doing the Lord's work and the Lord's will rather than what we want. I thought about the best example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ's own words when He said, not my will, but thine be done. That's the best example of sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. Saying, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. What you want is what I want, Lord. That's the most important thing. That's sanctifying and setting our part, our hearts to Him. Today, have you sanctified the Lord God in your heart? Is He the one that you've dedicated your heart and your life to? Or instead, have you dedicated it to what? This is what I want. I think about, and I don't mean this negative, but I'm just giving you an example. I think about a lot of times in sports, and I love sports. Y'all know that. And me and Brother Brent love sports. Some of y'all others love sports. But you think about for those athletes, for the most part, to be professional, to go up to the big leagues, as we say, to do whatever they do in whatever sport it is you want to name, it takes what? Dedication. They have to set apart themselves to do that. I think about some of these basketball, football players. I think about some of these Olympic athletes that we just went through seeing the Olympics. And they have to literally dedicate themselves day and night, miss meals, everything else in the world, so that they can excel and do what they've dedicated themselves to do. I think about their dedication a lot of times. And I ask me and you, have we sanctified the Lord God in our hearts that way? And say, Lord, I'll miss a meal if it means sharing the gospel with someone. Lord, I'll take and miss a little sleep if it means sharing the gospel. I'll take and miss out on this, Lord, so I can be in your house and do what you'd have me to do. Lord, I'll take and miss out on some of these things so I can give that extra tithe or offering that you want me to do. Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do today, sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. Psalms 42 and verse number 1, a good verse of Scripture. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I got a good example of this verse this week. Y'all know my youngest son has autism. And we was in the car this week in the van, and we had been driving around doing a bunch of errands and things for a while. Of course, he can't talk. Y'all know that, for the most part, can't talk. And we was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, he was back there, and he starts going, And we turn around and look. We know that means he wants something. He needs something. Don't know what it is, but he needs something. And so we ask, what do you want, you know? And he, of course, knows barely sign language and things, a few little things, and just trying to get our attention. Well, you know what he did? He went like this. At the same time he was doing that when he seen us turn around. And there was no doubt then exactly what he wanted, and it was our sweet tea, amen, that's what I'd want too. The sweet tea sitting right there in between us in those seats, amen. And he pointed, and started pointing at it, and I knew exactly what he wanted. Kelly gave him some. We put it back down. He said, and did it again, and wanted some more. We did that. I don't know how many times. She did it 3 or 4 times and all that. But I thought about when he got a hold of that cup that first time, you ought to have seen him. He grabbed it with both hands like this, and he went, and them jaws was a-working. And I thought, man, he'd been thirsting to death back there, poor kid. You know, I felt kind of bad. And I said, man, well, you didn't know, right? But he wanted something. His heart, although I know a different heart than the verse I just read, that's talking about the deer. But his heart was panting after that sweet tea, amen? He wanted it. He desired it. And he was getting somebody's attention, letting them know, hey, I want this. And when I seen that, it reminded me, seeing this verse, it reminded me of that. It is our heart pant after the Lord to do what He'd have us to do, just like that. That's what the psalmist was saying in Psalms 42:1. Psalms 19:7 through 14. I encourage you to read that later on. Those are some good verses. Psalms 37:4. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I thought about that verse when we was talking about this verse in Peter. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You think about today, I ask you, what's your heart's desire this morning? What is your heart desire? When I was purchasing the vehicle out there a couple weeks ago, I told you the story about the gentleman there, the salesman, was a Christian and the things there. But he made an interesting statement to me at one point. He said, "May the Lord give you the desires of your heart." And I thought, man, that's kind of odd. You know, most people don't say that to you, you know. And I thought about that thing. And when I come across this verse this week and the Lord laid it on my heart, I thought, that's interesting. Because that could be, depending on how you look at it. I asked myself, I said, what's the desires of my heart? Because if the desire of my heart is not sanctified and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, then what's the desire of my heart going to be? A lot of people today have the idea that, oh, most humans are good naturally. And most humans want to help people out and they're good and kind-hearted to the, you know, for the most part. That's not what the Bible says. Right. Most people have good hearts and all that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he said, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who could know it?" And if the Lord gave me the desires of my heart at times in my life, and yours at times, Lord help us. And sometimes He does give us those desires to show us how wicked and how sinful we are, amen, and say, okay, you want that? Here it is. Like He did with Israel in certain cases. And it brings us back on our knees to Him. You think about today, what's the desire of your heart? This verse said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Amen. That's the key. "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Have you sanctified Him in your heart? What's the desires of your heart this morning? If you've dedicated and given your heart to the Lord, the desires of your heart, I believe, would be simply put to bring honor and glorify Him and please Him with your life. Another verse of Scripture, Galatians 2 and verse 20 is the last one. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith." This is the way he lived his life, and this was real interesting. "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What are you living your life by today? Is it by the faith that you have in the Son of God and you've dedicated your heart and your life to Him? You see, today, answering faith will be one that has a heart that's dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that type of heart today? The only way you can have that type of heart is if you've given your heart to the Lord first when it comes to salvation. But second, if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, help me. Help me today, Lord, to do the things that You would have for me to do today. And sometimes the things that the Lord would have for us to do today is similar for each of us. Read the Bible, pray. I can start right there. Amen. Tell others about the Lord. But sometimes the things that the Lord would have for each of us to do today is different than the other people. Amen. And that's where we have to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. I ask you today, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Today, have you taken and sanctified Him in your heart and in your life? Is He first place, or have you given your heart and life to Him in salvation first off? Do you know Him as your Savior? And second, have you given your heart and life to Him when it comes to service this morning? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Dear Father, I pray this morning if there's one here that does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today might be the day that they would admit that they're a sinner and place their faith and trust in You and ask You to come into their heart and to save them. And dear Father, I pray today that for those of us that know You as Savior, I pray today that You'd help us, that we would truly dedicate our heart and our lives to You. That we would love You, dear Lord, with all our body, soul, strength, all our might, all our heart, dear Lord, we'd love You with everything within us. And we'd serve You. Help us, dear Father, today, I pray, to honor and please You and to do Your will with our lives. Bless now this invitation and do what You'd have done. In Jesus' name, amen.